Hey, good morning, everybody. Back for the second hour here. We had a good time talking to myself the first hour. We did have a couple callers, but that's okay. 410, WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. We invite you to call us if you enjoyed the first hour, if you have any comments to make. I feel like I was kind of prattling on there for a while, but I don't think I was. I think I tried to cover it as pretty as completely as I could, just to kind of review if you're just now joining us. Did go fishing a couple times this week with no success. Went to Red Bridges, and we were able to snag some line that would have really created some problems for some fishermen up there and bring that in and dispose of it properly. And then, went to the Daniels area yesterday for a couple of trout. Saw one fish being caught, didn't have any bites there. Met a couple nice folks that were, trying their best to hook up with a trout. And I'm trying to get back into the fishing mode a little bit, taking the stuff with me in the truck, got the hip boots and the knee boots. But I had a good time. And I went with Dale from Easton up to Red Bridges, and he was showing me a couple spots, and we fished a little bit, and then his lovely wife fixed a beautiful lunch for us and some great pie. So, again, thanks to Dale and Mrs. Dale for a good afternoon. I believe that was Wednesday. So, here we are. Going to be a pretty temperate weekend. Looks like it's going to be, relatively nice, and you can get out and go fishing. A lot of things going on. A couple of things from our sponsors to tell you about. Clyde Sports Shop, this is the concluding weekend of his 10-day sale, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that later. And then Chesapeake Outdoors, when just after you cross the Bay Bridge on the Eastern Shore, they've got a sale going on, including 40% off on all their Drake waterfowl apparel. So you stop in, first come, first served, whatever's left, you're going to get it at 40% off. 40%. So I'm pretty happy with that. I got a nice jacket the other day for fishing, a nice waterproof midweight jacket. And so there we go. The Midwinter Waterfowl Survey came out. Record highs since the 70s and 60s on mallards, black ducks, and canvasbacks, the highest they've been since mid-70s. Dabbling ducks were more abundant compared to last winter, 128,000 compared to 72,000 last winter. Nearly twice as many diving ducks in the survey, 190,300 over last year, 98,100. The canvasback count was the highest since the mid-60s, 68,400 canvasbacks on the Chesapeake Bay, and far greater than last year of 18,400. So that's 50,000 more canvasbacks. And I do know the guys killed a lot of canvasbacks. Let's talk to John in Baltimore. Good morning, John. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Okay. I was calling. Every year my family goes on a vacation for a couple weeks out to Blackbird Falls State Park in West Virginia.
Yep.
And I just wanted to relay a little experience we've been having. The deer population there is so used to the people there and people staying in the cabins and feeding them all the time. And I get arguments, but discussions with a lot of the people about how they shouldn't be doing that, how that can actually hurt them more than help them. And,
right.
And this past summer we were there, and this is something, the strangest thing, this family had a big pack of ham, and they were feeding slices of lunch meat ham to the deer. And to my shock, the deer were eating this.
Yeah.
And I tried explaining to them, the deer are not omnivores, they're herbivores, and that is not their diet. You can really hurt them by doing that. And I just thought it was a little strange to see the deer I've never seen deer eating meat before, and that was just very strange to me, and I just kind of wanted to relay that.
Well, funny you should bring that up, because when I was a kid, I used to do, my term paper for my junior or senior year in high school was bow hunting for deer in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a lot of research and have come to find out that deer have actually been seen and observed in the wild eating fish out of streams. And they apparently find minnows, trout, whatever it might be, in the stream. They get them. They strike them with their hooves as best they can, and then they do eat them. But I do not know if that is a you know, a particular area, learned behavior, or where that comes from, or what that comes from. But if you know, I think you could probably Google deer eating fish and see that. But the lunch meat thing, I mean, processed meat. Were these ham slices, or was this like bologna?
It was slices of ham, like yeah. In a pack, this like rectangular shaped, just cooked ham that you would fold and put on a sandwich.
Yeah.
And then there was also a raccoon that was kind of following him around, which I was thought was kind of funny, just waiting for scraps or whatever, just kind of staying back out of the way and looking for anything left over there.
See, when you get that when you got raccoons and animals that are that acclimated to humans, you're not doing them any good. So certainly not what I would consider wild animals.
And they've had quite a few bear sightings and bear encounters up there this past summer as well.
I have no doubt. Now, what part of West Virginia was this?
It is called Blackwater Falls State Park, and it's in Davis, West Virginia.
Oh, okay, all right.
About an hour past Deep Creek.
I know. I'm very familiar with Thomas and Davis and Canaan Valley State Park. Have you been to Canaan Valley?
Sure have.
Have you seen the deer there?
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Have you seen the ugly, ugly piebald deer there? The deer that are so inbred that they look like goats?
Yeah, they're terrible looking.
You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you?
I do, sir.
Highest population of inbred deer I've ever seen in my life, and they're the same way. Why they don't have some type of call on these parks is unknown to me. I mean, you know, in if that were one of the county parks in Howard or Montgomery County, the sharpshooters would have been called in ages ago.
Right.
But
which surprised me of West Virginia, they were even with the bear, they were just trying to catch them and relocate them rather than
that's backwards thinking, unfortunately. If you've got a bear that's not habituated to people, that's one thing. If you got a bear, you know, that's doing some damage to your cornfield and you catch him and move him further out, that's one thing. But if you got an animal that is surrounded by humans like that, you're getting hand-fed deer and that type of thing, it's not doing the wildlife any good. And you tried to educate somebody. You tried to tell them it's not good for the deer. People don't care.
Right. They were looking for the Kodak moment, I guess you'd call it.
Exactly. Look, Jimmy, the deer's eating out of my hand. And, you know, these are people that have grown up with what I call the Disney mentality.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, sir. And then the other thing was that the bear was coming into the campground, and a family had fried some fish, and they had a big pot of oil still sitting on a picnic table. And this bear came right to the campground in front of everybody and pulled this pot of oil down and started drinking the oil, you know, from where they fried the fish inside this thing, and then got all into their trash, and they just all watched it. Oh, how cute, you know, and it was a good size, about 180 to 220 pound, maybe 2 year black bear.
Then you know what? Then I blame wildlife officials for allowing that to happen. I blame state officials in that situation.
Yeah.
I really do, you know. But, that's a dangerous situation because, what happens if the kid's eating a piece of fish?
And
the bear wanders up. Oh, hey, that smells pretty good. Let me have that along with the rest of your hand.
Yeah, they had seen the mother with two cubs the year before, and they think that these are the cubs, you know, that they're maybe 2 years old or so, and they're out on their own now. And then they've seen about a 400-pound boar running around there. And
somebody's going to get hurt.
Yes, sir.
Unfortunately. So,
I've been going there for 18 years, and that's like the first, maybe second time we've heard anything about bear in that park.
Yeah.
But it's been all recently.
Yeah, I just got an email. I just got an email that the deer were probably after the salt in the ham, which is very possible.
Ah, okay.
They could have smelled the salt there. So that's a good catch there on that there, Mr. Emailer.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Okay, Aaron, well, thank you.
All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate that. You can always voice your opinion, not just here, but the West Virginia Department of Natural Resources. I think I'd drop them a note and say, you know, what are you going to do about this before somebody gets hurt?
Sounds good.
All right, thanks.
Yes, sir.
See ya. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. 1-800-922-6680 is our phone number. Welcome your phone calls here. We talked a little bit about the public hearing on the hunting and trapping regulation proposals for 2014-15 and 2015-16. A lot of comments on a lot of things down there. Some of it didn't get much play, like black bears and doves, and there was not much discussion on that. You know, a lot of people were opposed to the deer antler restrictions that are proposed, and a lot of people were in favor. You know, it was going 50-50. Same kind of way with the turkey, the winter turkey season. There were people from the Wild Turkey Federation that were opposed, and you know, there were some people just overly concerned, in my opinion, about some of the things. And you know, the thing is, if you pay attention to the presentations, and you view everything with a little bit of skepticism. All right. Everything with a little bit of skepticism, and you think about, you know, everything you know. If you don't know nothing, you know, you just react from the gut. But if you look at sound management and you think about things, and you know, you're a participant, and you think about how this is going to affect you, then you can calculate an informed comment or opinion, and you know, go through the channels, put that, go to the meeting, and you know, or go to the website and. Express your opinion and see how that goes, because they do. That's the reason they hold public meetings. They don't just hold a public meeting and then do what they want. They hold public meetings so that they can get public input. And one of the wildlife advisory commissioners was upset because he was at the stakeholders meeting. And when the final proposal on the deer antler restrictions, which is one deer out of the three legal deer that you can take, make sure that is a you know, 3-point restriction, three 1-inch points on one side, which is a 6-point, not some, you know, 15-inch 8-point or anything like that. It's a 6-point. You know, it's a little bit bigger deer than a spike or so, maybe a little older perhaps. And that's only one out of the three, and it doesn't apply to kids or anything like that. But anyway, he was upset because the proposal had changed from the stakeholders meeting to the proposal that went online and was sent out to everybody, where the antler restriction went from Region A to statewide. And he said that was never brought up at the stakeholders meeting, and I said, yes, it was. I don't know if you weren't paying attention, but it was brought up. It was stated by one of the stakeholders, and it was a letter accompanied that to request that proposal be made statewide, and he unloaded on the wildlife officials, and you know, as a member of the Wildlife Advisory Commission. So yeah, things happen. You know, people got to pay attention. You got to pay attention. We got to pay attention. So 410 WCBM 680 410-922. 6680 is our phone number. Whew. Time to call, right? Or I can tell them about Chesapeake Outdoors. I was down there the other day. John said, hey, I want you to tell people on the radio show that I've got Drake Waterfowl clothing 40% off. He said, I've got Under Armour, too, as well. But tell them to come in and check out the inventory of Under Armour. But the Drake Waterfowl clothing, I mean, this is good stuff. This is midweight stuff. This is heavyweight stuff. This is bibs and coats and waterfowl stuff. What I bought was the Mossy Oak Waterfowl pattern. It's a midweight jacket. It was really nice, and 40% off is a heck of a savings. And so I bid on that one for sure, and I think you should too. Go take a look at Chesapeake Outdoors. They're on Route 50, or just off of Route 50 at exit 39B. That's Dominion Road. Watch for that. Look for the Exxon. Turn there and go in behind the Exxon, and the Chesapeake Outdoors is right there. You can see the store from 50. You go past it, and then you take the next exit in there. But make sure you tell them you heard about it on the radio show, too. And check out all the turkey supplies while you're there. They're ready for striper season, too. They're ready for trophy rockfish with spanking striper lures, bucktails, and parachutes. Good-looking baits, to be honest with you. Rods, reels, tackle, everything for perch fishing. They got live bait, minnows, grass, shrimp if you're going for perch this weekend. And make sure you check out the entire archery line. They've got Mission and Matthews bows. Mission crossbows, Parker Barnett crossbows, and they have those great Bubba Blade knives that you see on TV. So, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500, Chesapeake Outdoors on Maryland's Eastern Shore, right there in Kent Island, exit 39B, that's Dominion Road. check out those 40% off sales on Drake clothing and everything else that you can need, want, or imagine for hunting and fishing. They've got it right there.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
Hey, don't forget, it's the last week into Clyde Sports Shop's annual fishing season kickoff sale. It's a 10-day sale. Last 2 days, today and tomorrow. It's all over. You can save on fishing line. Take your empty spools in there and fill them up with premium monofilament line starting at just 1 cent per yard, all at half price. In other words, if it's 4 cents a yard, you get it for 2 cents. If it's 5 cents, you get it for 2.5 cents. It's pretty simple to figure out. Half of what you would normally pay. All premium quality monofilament line. Take your empty spools in there and get them filled up. Trolling combos starting at $79.95. That's a rod with a roller tip, a reel filled with line, ready to go rock fishing. Penn GTI 330s for $89.95. The Sargus spinning reels from Penn also start at just $49.95. All ugly stick rods from Shakespeare on sale. Check out the selection of St. Croix rods. Don't forget, fishing license, live bait and minnows. They've got them. Rod and reel repair, also got that. If you need a new tip on your rod or a guide replaced, if you need your reel lubed up or fixed or taken care of, they can do that as well. 410-242-6108 is the phone number. That's 410-242-6108. Clyde Sports Shop is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit number 9. They're open 7 days a week. They take all major credit cards. And that 24-hour fishing hotline is 410-247-3474. 247-FISH for Clyde's 24-hour fishing hotline. Website, ClydeSports.com, Clyde's Sports Shop. You owe it to yourself to check them out for everything for fishing.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Well, in North Carolina, way back in the hills, lived my old pappy and he had him a still. He brewed white lightning till the sun went down, then he'd fill him a jug and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, pappy storm squeezing. Ooh, white lightning. Well, a G-man, T-man, a Reverend Lewis too, searching for a place where they made his boo. They were looking, trying to bug him, but my pappy kept a cooking.
What a lightning. Let's talk to Frank in Easton. Good morning, Frank. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, my friend. How you doing, Mr.
What's
Brown?
Going on?
Let me say this first. The minute your show goes off the air on Saturday morning, I start wondering what you're going to talk about next Saturday.
Never a dull moment, is there?
It's always good to hear you there, man. You, at the beginning of the new segment there this morning, you were saying something about you thought you might have been rambling on.
Yeah.
Well, brother, carry on. We love it.
Well, okay. I appreciate that.
Anyway. About those deer eating the ham.
Yes.
I can remember probably 10 years ago reading in a Reader's Digest, and I believe there was a picture accompanying it. And this deer was running around this person's yard stamping at a mouse, and he finally caught it and ate it.
No, wait. Say that again.
A deer was running around this person's backyard.
When was this?
Oh, it was about 10 years ago. I read it in Reader's Digest.
Oh, Reader's Digest. Okay. Stamping on a mouse.
I'm sorry. Outdoor Life.
Outdoor Life. Okay. Stomped on a mouse.
But, yeah, he stopped just, you know, he hit him with the hoof and then picked him up and ate him.
Hmm.
But anyway.
Okay. Well, there we go. You heard me talk about him eating fish, and that was something I read, 40 years ago when I was a kid.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then the other aspect is the turkey hunting. I know you got Friday. You said you had somewhere to go, and then Saturday you'll obviously be doing your show.
Friday I am indeed turkey hunting on the first day with Hammer Hollow Outfitters on the Eastern Shore.
With Jacob, I imagine.
Nope. Jacob and I are going on Youth Day. We're going to take that Saturday off. I think that's a second, I don't know, whatever the day that is, whatever Saturday that is. We actually got an invitation to hunt with our buddy again this year, and he came to me. We were at an event the other day, and he goes, Jacob, got any plans for Youth Day? I said, are you inviting us? And he said, yep. I said, we'll be there. So,
how awesome is that?
Yeah, it's very awesome. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, if I told you this or not. I'm sure I did. Jacob was sitting in the blind. We were waiting for the bird to hit the decoy, and the bird did not hit the decoy. The bird jumped up on a log 22 yards to our right side and gobbled his full head off there for quite a while. And
wow.
Jacob couldn't get turned to shoot the bird there because he was not facing that direction. He was waiting for the bird to come to the decoy, and we kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and the bird just skipped off the log and went behind us rather than in front of us to the field. So, you know,
God knows if you blink, they see that.
Oh yeah, yeah. So Jake didn't, you know, he was in a tough spot. So, you know, we'll have to get him a little swivel chair this year, and he can swing over there and blast that bird. So,
well, knowing that he's going on a junior hunt, that kind of answers my next question. What I was going to suggest or ask. Would it be possible for Jacob to meet me up at the spot, you know, and I would send him to that tree that you found?
You like that tree, huh?
Oh, Alan, I wish you could have been there to witness the way it unfolded last year when I got that one.
You killed that bird. You killed that bird right off my tree, didn't you?
15 yards.
Man. All right. Yeah.
You could have seen the way he come running up out of that.
Well, you hunt during the week, don't you, Frank?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I thought so. Okay. Yep, well, I'll make out a date.
We'll catch up.
All right, buddy.
Take care of yourself, Al.
Thanks, Frank. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Went with Frank up to Washington County on public land, and I heard some birds and was scouting a little bit there after it got daylight, and he had sent me to this one spot, which was a really nice spot. I looked around, and I found this tree that just was a perfect seat, and you know, told Frank about it. He went down there and found it and killed a bird off of it last season, which I wasn't able to hunt there. So that was fun. So I do get to occasionally hunt or fish or both with our listeners, and it's a lot of fun. So, you know, I quite frankly, 20 years ago this year, I'm still hunting the farm that I was invited to in Cecil County. I'm still hunting it. And the first day I was there, 20 years ago, I killed my best buck to date, an 8-point buck. And this year, 20 years to the exact date, Jacob killed an 8-point buck within about 300 yards. It was a different stand, but it was a pleasure to be there and watch that happen. And then to look at the calendar and say that was the 20th anniversary of my first day on that farm was pretty cool. Very cool. Very, very cool. So we've been blessed. There's no question. Been blessed with a grandson that shares the enthusiasm for hunting that his old paw has, you know. So 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. I keep getting these emails from this guy, and he keeps complaining about a lack of yellow perch. Hey, Alan, missed the first part of your show today. Wondering what your readers thought about the lack of yellow perch. Well, he's referring to some report from the Department of Natural Resources, and the lack of yellow perch is simply because the yellow perch are still staging. The weather, the temperature, the water temperature has been too cold for them to show up. In talking to some commercial watermen, which I did this week, and one of whom is a perch fisherman, he's telling me that the gill netters are the ones that are almost limited out, if not limited out, on yellow perch. They're gill netters. The pound netters, fike netters, are having a tough time getting the fish. Now, what will happen this weekend is some of those areas where people fish recreationally are also fish commercially during the week. So the commercial guys, without wanting to interfere with the recreational guys or to be annoyed by the recreational guys or losing gear to recreational guys, are delaying putting in their nets until actually water temperature gets to be right. And then they'll set their pound nets, they'll set their fike nets this week. And, you know, hopefully the fish will start to move into the spawning reaches like they do every year. But it's all dependent on water temperature. As far as a lack of yellow perch, I'm not sure we're experiencing a lack of yellow perch other than by temperature. I mean, we had Paul Piavis on here a couple of weeks ago talking about yellow perch management. And again, a lack of yellow perch doesn't necessarily mean there's not that many out there, although some of the year classes of fish that would be that harvestable size this year may have been off a little bit. And I'm not looking at any of the charts or graphs right now. I'm just shooting from the lip here that, you know, these fish don't always spawn as successfully from one year to the next. So if we're in a down year class, we're not going to have as many fish. If we have a good year class, those fish need a couple years to get to harvestable size. So keep also in mind that some of these guys, the commercial guys, can only keep a fish between, I believe, 8.5 and 11 inches. 8.5 and 11 inches. It's a slot limit for the commercial watermen. All right, they cannot keep a fish larger than 11 inches, and they certainly can't keep 13-14 inch yellow perch like we do on the recreational size, which are the big spawners. So there are some limits on those guys, and that's how I want to address that yellow perch question for now until I get, you know, more information. So 410-922-6680 is our phone number, 1-800-WCBM-680. We're going to take a little break for the Wall Street Journal, and then we'll be right back.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. Your open plan office could be making you sick. A study conducted at Stockholm University found that people who work in offices without cubicles take more sick time, and it's even worse when there are no assigned workstations. Those people who have their own private offices take the least amount of sick time. Those most likely to take a few days off from work were those who work in open offices with 4 to 9 people per room. The reasons why seem obvious. Packing more people into one area increases the chances for infections to spread. Researchers also say not having your own office exposes you to more environmental stressors. In other words, your coworkers are annoying you, so you end up taking a mental health day. Most American offices are open concept, so what's the answer? It could start with new anti-germ technologies. Steelcase designed a desk with silver ion areas, like drawer handles, where workers are most likely to put their hands. Silver ion can kill bacteria. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
Hey, developers, are your apps breaking? Users complaining? People freaking out? New Relic can help.
You can?
We can. New Relic is the easiest way for software developers to build faster, better performing web and mobile apps.
Is it complicated and pricey?
Nope. It only takes 5 minutes to get up and running. Start getting code level visibility into users using your apps in real time. See bottlenecks, spot bugs, and fix problems fast before they ever affect the people using your app. Plus, New Relic is free.
I'm in love.
Go to newrelic.com/radio in the next 5 minutes, and we'll send you a free T-shirt and give you 30 days of New Relic Pro for free. That's newrelic.com/radio right now for the shirt and the Pro monitoring tools. newrelic.com/radio.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It sits above the mantel on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gone, He bought it new out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and it shot a mini shell over the top of an old bird dog. And it backed a burglar down when Grandma took my safety off Granddaddy's gun.
My great-granddaddy's gun, believe it or not, an old double-barrel Barker, B-A-R-K-E-R. Probably bought it for $20 or something back in, I don't know, turn of the last century, something like that. It's Damascus barrels, hammer gun, yeah. Pretty cool. I'll never shoot it, but, you know, it's one of the sides is broken. But when I asked my grandpa for one of his guns, I knew what he had. He had an old 37 Ithaca Deerslayer. He had a 1893 Winchester Yellow Boy, I guess. I don't know what they call them, but it had a brass side plate on it and an octagon barrel part way out. I can't remember what caliber it was, and he had a couple other things, and wound up with that old double barrel shotgun. So, you know, there's more to that story, but it's very interesting. So. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. And, okay, so we're back. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Please give me a call here and comment on anything you've heard. Has anybody been fishing? That's what I want to know. Has anybody been fishing? Give us a call. Don't wait till the last minute. We're in the final stretch here. So, you know, we got one more break and then we're out of here. So give us a call. John on the line? Hey, John, you there?
Yeah, go ahead. What number?
Oh, you're here. No, you're on the air now. You are on the air on the radio show.
Okay.
All right. So, are you hearing anything from your? This is John at Chesapeake Outdoors. Are you hearing anything from your perch fishermen?
Yes.
What are they telling you?
Would you ask me to tell you? Say it again.
John.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Pay attention. You're on the radio.
Alrighty.
Live. Okay.
Yep.
What are you hearing from your perch fishermen?
They're catching them.
Where at?
Tuckahoe.
Yeah.
Millington.
Yeah.
We're catching a few here, sporadic.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's good. And you got a sale on Drake Waterfowl clothing right now, huh?
Oh, yeah. 40% off.
40% off. All right. Well, I'll tell you, I'm enjoying my jacket. That's for sure. So, all right. You're selling lots of bait. You're ready for rockfish season. The store's been restocked and ready to go pretty much, right?
Yeah. We got all kinds of new parachutes, larger selection of that, and all kinds of bait in right now.
Tell me about that little camera you were showing me the other day.
Oh, the Axiom.
Axiom, yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
yep. It's a really good one.
Okay, what do you do with it?
You can put it underwater. You can put it on helmets, hats, chests.
Can you mount it to your bow, your gun, and that type of thing?
Everything.
Okay. And what do they run?
$289.
$289 for a camera. It's kind of like a GoPro, only better, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, that's cool. All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate that. So what's the best bait for the perch, or are they using everything?
Right now, grass, shrimp, and minnows.
And you got both?
I have both.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, buddy. See ya. I know, he's busy. He's jammed up down there. So, John from Chesapeake Outdoors. Always nice to hear from our sponsors. So, all right, that's our phone number, 410-WCBM-680. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. And we're more than glad to talk to you about anything you want to talk about. Did you get a chance to pick up a new copy of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly? I hope you did. It's out there on the stands now. It's out there at all the shops. If you've enjoyed our once-a-year fishing outlook, 32 pages of fishing, mostly on management, a few tips and techniques, some photos, we hope you've enjoyed it. We've got rockfish and everything from Chesapeake Bay to brook trout and Deep Creek Lake and invasive catfish and striped bass and offshore stuff, you know, the artificial reef program, a serious article on Myco. By the way, speaking of Myco, I saw somewhere information just this week that residents of Chinatown, the fish markets in Chinatown in New York City, have been warned to watch out for mycobacteriosis that some of the people who are handling fish are getting from the fish that they're handling. It doesn't say from where. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're handling Chesapeake Bay fish. They could be any fish from anywhere because mycobacteriosis is endemic. But it's the first I've seen any reports of myco in the national media. So the mycobacterium is affecting fish handlers in Chinatown in New York City. How about that? Interesting. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
How are you? What's your name?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm Pat.
Hi, Pat. How can
and
I help
I'm calling,
you?
I'm calling from Baltimore.
Yep.
And I'm not a hunter. I love your show.
Well, thanks.
I turn it on every Saturday morning.
Yep.
And at 5 o'clock. So
well,
I'm
wonderful.
The one listening. My grandparents had a summer cottage on the Seneca, and I used to fish for
oh,
years.
Oh, sure. Yep.
And we used to put a trout line out, and
mm-hmm.
I won't go into the details, but it's a really interesting history there. But I want to ask you about the northern snakeheads and the population, and are we getting control of it?
No, and we will not get control of it. The fish are widespread now in the Potomac complex and in some of the tidal rivers in the lower part of the bay. The fish are attaining some pretty good size. I think the world record now came from Virginia, if I remember right, or maybe the lower part of Maryland, 17, 18 pounds. These fish are becoming huge top-tier predators, and there's nothing that can be done to stop the spread of these fish because they're in an environment that they can adapt to. It's a tidal environment. They're adapting to the food supply there. There's plenty of food, plenty of forage fish, minnows and sunfish and whatever else they eat. It's good spawning areas for largemouth bass and other species. So, nope, we're not getting rid of them. We're not getting a handle on them. There is now becoming a commercial market for them, which could help. There are anglers who are catching them and doing what they're supposed to do as far as killing them and getting them out of the ecosystem. There are other anglers who are catching them for sport and releasing them. There are bow hunters who are archery, bow fishing for them at night, which is great sport from what I can understand. But we will they are so prolific at spawning, we'll never get a handle on them.
So there's no are there any restrictions on when you can catch
nope.
them?
Nope.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
Nope. They're an invasive species. No restrictions or no size limits or anything else. They're becoming actually kind of like our sika deer here. They're becoming a trophy species on the lower part of the Potomac River. Believe it or not, there are guide services sprung up around. Snakeheads, then you know the largemouth bass. They're kind of like second-class citizens now that snakeheads have shown up because
are they edible?
Oh, extremely edible. Yes,
are they?
That's why I said there's a commercial market for them. Yes, I understand the flesh is very, very delectable. I've not eaten them, but I plan on doing that this year. So,
well, I hope you catch a lot and kill a lot. Anyway, thank you so much for taking.
Well,
the bigger
threat is not the snakeheads. The bigger threat is the invasive catfish, which is the blue catfish in the Potomac and elsewhere, and also the flathead catfish in the Susquehanna complex.
Now, how did they get released?
Well, that's a very good question. How they got released and how they get propagated? There have been some accusations. Now, the blue cats have been originally, I believe, they were stocked, But Virginia has found out that, yeah, they can promote this blue catfish fishery, but to the detriment of the river system. We are at the early stages of that, and we're finding out that they eat large volumes of more desirable fish that anglers want to catch and keep. But as far as how they got spread, the flathead catfish and the blue catfish seem to be propagated by these tournament catfish anglers. At least that's where part of the blame has been placed. Guy will go catch flatheads in one spot and transport them in his live well and dump them in another spot to try and establish a population. Good or bad for the environment, they don't care. They just want to catch catfish.
Isn't that such a sad commentary?
What can I tell you?
Anyway, well, thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thanks,
I love
Pat.
The show. I really enjoy it.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. bye.
Bye-bye. There she goes. By the way, the invasive, well, we'll just tell you about that. On the Maryland Fishing Challenge, there is an invasive species division this year for blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. However, the requirement is you've got to kill the fish. So it is time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakehead. So check out the Maryland Youth Fishing Club, the Youth Angler's Log, to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip from now through Labor Day. All you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certified your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, the tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify for citation. So stop by your local fishing citation center or check out the fishing rule book or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Well, I hope so. It's time for you to go to Clyde's Sport Shop and check out their annual fishing sale. Get ready for fishing season. If you need trout or perch stuff, they've got it. If you need rockfish gear, they've got it. You can get your lines filled for your reels filled for half price for premium monofilament, starting at just 1 cent per yard. Take your empty spools in, and they'll fill them up for you. Don't forget the Penn Reels, the GTI 330 Trollit Level Wine Trolling Reel, just $89.95. And trolling combos for rockfish, $79.95 and up. That's a rod with a roller tip, a reel filled with line. All the Fluger reels and rods are on sale. All the ugly sticks are on sale. You get the idea. Clyde's is having a great big fishing sale, and it all ends at 5 o'clock this Sunday. So hurry in this weekend. Get your license. If you need rod or reel repair, they've got that too. Live bait, you name it. 410-242-6108 is the phone number. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That's Clyde Sport Shop. Don't forget the fishing hotline, 247. That's 410-247-FISH, 247-3474. You'll be glad you went to Clyde Sport Shop. And one more time for Chesapeake Outdoors, 40% off. You heard John talk about their Drake clothing. Great sale on Drake waterfowl clothing and others. And they're fully stocked with everything for fish and tackle. The perch fishermen are reporting some good catches. They've got the grass shrimp. They've got the minnows. And they've got those great spanking striper lures, the bubble blade knives, and everything you need. So check those out, too, at Chesapeake Outdoors. Route 50 East, exit 39B on Kent Island. Stop by, tell them you heard about them on the radio show. 410-604-2500, 604-2500, and make sure you tell John that you heard him on the radio.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the battery warehouse near you. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Let's talk to Jack in Kearney and then Gary in Baltimore. Good morning, Jack. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
Look, I'm originally from Montgomery County, but I don't like to tell a lot of people that.
Well, that's okay. You can tell. You can tell us. You're an anonymous voice on the radio, so we're good.
Well, one, I love your show. I listen to it whenever I'm up here.
Sure.
But I don't know. I missed the first hour, but I don't know if you mentioned anything about the Chesapeake Conservation Association, Lefty Crave Fly Tires Fest over in Garrisonville. At Prospect Bay Country Club today?
No, Jack, but you just did. Now, you brought up something here very, very important to this show and to me and to our listeners, okay? If you want to promote an event on this radio show, don't ambush me like that. There's nothing that gets my ire just a little bit more than that. I like Lefty Cray. I would have told you where he was if I'd have known. But don't ambush me, okay? Email me ahead of time. Let me know. Could you mention this on your show? I'll be glad to do that. But if you're going to put an event out there that's going to raise money for something, you need to let me know ahead of time. That's the rule. Unfortunately, Jack is gone, and he loves my show. But I'm not here to do that. This is not a public forum. This is a private endeavor on commercial radio. And I'm not trying to be mean about it. I'm just trying to tell you, don't ambush the host. It's not proper. It's not good. Well, let's talk to Gary in Baltimore. Good morning, Gary. How are you doing?
How's it going?
Good. Do you have any events you want to promote before we start?
I don't have anything. I'm
you
not
sure?
I'm not promoting anything.
All right, good. What's up, man?
I've been fishing, striper fishing for January, February.
Yeah.
The catch and release, and it's been, I'd say, average. But
yeah,
we did have one young fellow was fishing with me on his third cast and catches a 54-inch, 35-inch striper. Right. Probably computes out to about 73 pounds. So it's out there running around the bay, a new state record.
Oh, well.
I did want to say
that. Yeah, well, Gary, I know you participated in that early season. Again, I'm not in favor of that. How long did he fight that fish?
Really wasn't that long. Water temperature was about 35 degrees.
Yeah.
And the fish didn't, probably under 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, lake tackle. Not there was ice on the water.
Yeah, did you take it out of the water and take a picture?
No. So he was let go, and he's out there fighting around. I want to say Liberty. Liberty last year was the best I've seen in 50 years.
Really?
I want some good smallmouth fishing was incredible.
Yeah.
I had 70 smallmouths over 20 inches.
Wow.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's all because of grass. There's grass in Liberty, and this year, if my record holds up, it'll be 40 years, if you can believe that. It's unbelievable.
Eight pounds, 4 ounces, I believe?
8 pounds, 4 ounces, yeah.
That's a big fish, man.
I thought it would last 6 months, and it's been 40 years.
How about that?
So,
absolutely.
That's all I got to say. Striper, have you heard anything about new regulations with stripers?
Not this year, no.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
Not this year.
That's all I got.
All right, buddy. Thank you. See you, Gary. There he goes. Yeah. Gary calls every now and then. Once a year or so, we hear from Gary. So State record smallmouth bass holder. If you want to look it up, you're certainly welcome to do so. 40 years. How about that? Amazing. That was longer than I've been in Maryland. It looks like we're just about out of time for this show. It's been a challenge. a lot of emails to deal with here over the course of the show, and we're glad to have them. I think we answered most of them except one from Bernie, and I'll get to that because that's going to take a little time to do that. So, look, fishing's going to kick off this weekend, I predict. I hope that the weather's going to continue to warm up. The groundhog was almost 6 weeks ago. So we got about one more week to endure. Daylight savings time kicks in tomorrow. I guess you turn your, spring ahead, fall back. So you turn your clocks ahead 1 hour when you go to bed tonight, and you lose an hour tomorrow. But that means that it's going to stay daylight later. Tonight we'll be at the VFW on Pool Road in Westminster. If you'd like to join us for the Quality Deer Management Association fundraiser dinner, you're welcome to do so. You can check MarylandQDMA.com for the details on the tickets, and bring a couple folks and enjoy a good night of fellowship. You might win some cash or a gun, or bid on some great hunting merchandise. It's a good time, good fellowship, and guess what? We talk about deer hunting. So, check that out. And if you'd like to come, I'll see you up there. I'll be the MC tonight and be giving away a lot of stuff. I had a great time at the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation banquet. I want to thank those guys for inviting me. Last Sunday, we raised a lot of money for conservation. And we'll be seeing a couple of those guys tonight, too, as well. So, all right. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm tired. I'm Alan Ellis, but I'm also tired. I'm not as tired as Nick, my producer, who's worked all night. But I am getting out of here now, so we'll make room for Alan Summers in the Garden Club. And